The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So when the Sadducees encounter Jesus with a technical question, he responds by humanizing and placing divine value on each character in the Sadducees' hypothetical scenario. Jesus' response is about resurrection. It's about new life and about naming people as children of God and children of the light. The answer Jesus gives the Sadducees is about God, whose very presence means life. Jesus teaches about God's promise of resurrection in the face of death and about life in the face of death and in spite of death. Like Job in the early text this day, who was surrounded by a remnant of his lost life, but was still found proclaiming a holy hope. Jesus, in our gospel text, is amid the tension that will soon lead him to his own death. And yet, he proclaims life. Facing death, he proclaims hope. And the author of this hope and the resurrection promise of new life is God, whose very naming of us as God's children brings us to life. These texts we have before us today proclaim hope in the face of hopelessness, and they urge us to proclaim hope in our lives, even in the face of hopelessness. Yesterday was the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. After decades of separation between East and West Germany, the wall came down, and it was a moment that signified newfound freedoms for the people of East Germany and a reversal from years of division caused by the wall and by the oppressive East German regime. The brave actions of the German people, who gathered by the tens of thousands in the streets of Leipzig in nonviolent protest ahead of the fall of the wall, are often forgotten in our historical memory. Yet 30 years later, we are asked to remember what was called the Peaceful Revolution, the peaceful revolution that led to the fall of the Berlin Wall, and the healing of divisions between East and West. We're also called to hold in our hearts and prayers all of those who remain separated by walls in our time, along the 400 miles of the security barrier in Israel and Palestine, along the U.S.-Mexican border, and in all other places where we build barriers in our communities and in our hearts. And then, with Job surrounded by the remnants of his lost life, with Jesus on his way to the cross, we are to proclaim life, and we are to proclaim hope in the face of hopelessness. For we are, we confess, children of God. Four years before the Berlin Wall came down, and without a sense that that falling of the wall was imminent, Friedrich Schlorlemmer wrote these words, entitled Ich glaube dir, a profession of faith for those living in danger. He wrote, I believe in God, the source, center, and purpose of all life. You call me to life among the living. You have gifted me with the ability to sing and to love, to cry and to play, to think and to speak, to work and rest, to change and to preserve. You invite me into partnership with you in the middle of the world that you've entrusted us with. You've given me so much latitude, the freedom to put myself and my world on the line. I believe in you, God. You are patient, gracious, and full of goodness. For that reason, I do not despair when I look at the world that you have given into my hands. You hold it in your hands. That is my hope. Because of this alone, I do not drown in my fear. I thank you for everything that you allow me to experience in this world. I believe in you, Son of Man, true God, Jesus of Nazareth. I believe you are peace. You embodied peace in the midst of conflict. You spared yourself nothing, and nothing was spared you. I look up to you, even though you do not wish to be above me. In you, I see that gentleness is not weakness, humility is not subservience, peaceableness is not passivity. I believe in you, the beginning of life without domination. I believe in you, the end of restrictions. I believe in you, the retirement of vengeance. I believe in you, the love of life without claim of possession. I believe in you, nearness to the weak without the condescension of the strong. I believe in you, the forgiveness of sin without a bitter aftertaste. I believe in you, the life that has gone through death. I believe in you, even when I'm too indolent to live it. I believe in you and the tears you cried over us when you looked at our city. So come, Holy Spirit. Bring me the olive branch of hope. God, Holy Spirit, who touches the ends of the earth, let me abide within the rainbow of your kindness. Schlorlemmer wrote from behind the Berlin Wall, but he wrote of hope. He wrote of a holy future. Such faith. While on my pilgrimage to Israel, I learned in the Garden of Gethsemane, at the foot of the Mount of Olives, just outside the wall of the city of Jerusalem, I learned that there were arborists who had confirmed that at least one of the great trees there in the Garden of Gethsemane was an olive tree dating back more than 2,000 years. It was present to witness Jesus pausing to pray in that place on the night before he died. That sacred grove evoked a certain awe. About 4 miles to the south, There's another grove of olive trees, one that I could not go to. It's a grove of 9 2,000-year-old olive trees. They are the trees of Salome Bishara, a Lutheran Palestinian. Every year, those 9 trees fill the oil jars of the Bishara family, as they have for generations. But now the trees stand in the shadow of Israel's separation barrier, a 28-foot-tall high wall that towers over the 9 olive trees. And though the grove is located well into the West Bank, part of Salome's family land, it was confiscated without negotiation or compensation several years ago. And apartment buildings for Israel settlers now cover part of the old Bishara farm. Palestinians have been separated from neighbors and family by the wall. But Bishara and his family still celebrate. They give thanks for their generational dedication to the land and for the trees with roots as deep as their own. They confirm that these trees will continue to bring forth blessings from the rockiest of ground. Faith is strong in the Bishara family in the midst of occupation. Indeed, Salome says, these trees that have survived for more than 2,000 years will survive another 2,000. Children of God, with Job surrounded by the remnants of his lost life, with Jesus on the eve of his suffering and death, with Salome, Bishara, and his family under the shadow of the wall, let us proclaim hope in the face of hopelessness, life in the face of death. And may we be those who seek to build bridges rather than walls of division. In Christ's name, amen.